conversation, never on the block.
Leave me by the bar.
Bars open.
Bars open.
Bars open.
Welcome to Open Bar Podcast, where the conversation's never on the rocks, but it's straight up no chaser. I'm your boy C4.
And I am AD, the owner of Smile Bartending.
She's smiling too. Anyway, we back with another episode again. Okay, we back, we back, we back. Today we got a special guest. None other than he's gonna introduce himself. I'm gonna say his name, Sean Corner.
What up, C4? AD.
What's going on?
Nice to meet you.
Yes, welcome, welcome.
Shout out to the Open Bar Podcast. What's up with y'all, man? Y'all chilling?
We good.
Yes,
we good
chilling
and
making cocktails.
We gotta start off ceremonially? Like, is it a?
We gotta take a shot.
Is it
gonna take a
shot? Oh, is it even a show?
Oh, he calling the shots.
I'm a guest, but I feel like I'm family already.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
so I feel like I know the proper order of operations. I feel like I know the proper protocol.
That does this mean?
Okay, so I know that C4, he normally has, he thinks three steps ahead.
Okay.
He's got his next three moves planned. He's thinking about what he's doing after this and after that.
Yeah.
So I'm here to do just a little bit of the lifting. Like he's on the bench, but I'm spotting. I'm like, you got it, C4. You got it, brother. AD, you're here. You're here. You're here in case we need any refreshments, any Gatorade, any liquid courage.
Gatorade.
What's the hydration right here? No, I'm just
okay. Okay.
Let's take a good shot, man.
Hell yeah. Let's hell yeah.
Right.
Hell
not above you.
Not
below you.
Not below
right
you.
Here with
right
you.
Right here.
Okay.
With
it's another episode of Open Bar Podcast.
Hey, C4. To our wives and our girlfriends, may they never meet, huh? All right, never mind. That was too much.
Now we gotta cut this. Nah, but tell people what you do, man.
Shit,
it ain't already obvious.
I'm a stand-up comedian, and I'm also an app developer. And we'll get into all of that. But yeah, I do stand-up comedy. I live here in Los Angeles. Been living here for about 6 years. I started out doing comedy in Jersey, so I had to drive over to Philly. Shout out to you too, Ray Gordon. I know you one of the big dogs over there. You let Kevin Hart cut his teeth. You let Chico. You let a lot of people out of there in Philly cut their teeth, and now they're doing big things. Chanel Ali, Quinta Brunson. Like, I really appreciate what you're doing out there. But, I used to drive over to Philly, cut my teeth at Warm Daddy's. You did say that was a crazy name.
That was a crazy name.
That is a crazy name. Okay. What is Warm Daddy's?
Yeah, I'm like,
is
wait,
this a Diddy club?
No.
In Philadelphia, Warm Daddy's is a staple. It's a grown and sexy jazz club where they do live music. Okay. But once a week, Toure Gordon, this comedian, he opens it up for comedians. And it always sells out. The food is famous for being delicious. It's black owned. But like when comedians come through there, it's just like any major city. Just like LA, just like Philly, just like Chicago. The people are there. If you're not funny, they're going to tell you. In Philly, they're going to let you fucking know. And like, if you go up there with some bullshit, they're going to be like, all right. Like, sometimes, 9 times out of 10, the people in the audience might be funnier than the guy on stage. So like, they're going, yo, if he ain't shit, we're going to make a show either way. So we're going to talk about you either going to be the show or you going to be the show. Like, it's up to you up there.
Right.
But I appreciate him.
Choose your poison, nigga.
I appreciate him because, like, all the comedians out there in Philly, whether you're going out, because being in Jersey, it's not that much of a scene. Mm. It's like, man, you can probably get up once a week. There might be one or two open mics in town within 30 minutes of driving. And it's like out here, you can get up all day, every day. In New York, you can get up all day, every day. So other comedians got that competitive edge. That's why, you know, a lot of comedians, when they feel like they're ready, they move to the city. But like cutting my teeth in Philly and then finally moving out here to L.A., being out here for 6 years, I'm finally at a place where I'm like, oh, shit, I feel comfortable. I know the lay of the land. I'm self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. And not too much, but I got a little bit of motion. Like, I don't want to brag too much, but like people be in my DMs, and now I be like, hey, I wish. I remember the days where I was like, hey, these were the problems that I was praying for. Mm-hmm. So now I'm trying to figure out how to, you know, level up those and get to that next level. You get what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
My first question is, what made you get into being a comedian? Like, what drew you to that?
I don't even know, man. I guess black people do this in general. They romanticize trauma. Like, black people love to be like, hey, I went through this, and it's a badge of honor. Right. It's like, yo, I've been through something, so I'm that nigga because I've been through something. And not to say that I had any super traumatic experiences. It was just like you grow up in a competitive environment. Like, if you're the youngest child, like, everybody's doing their thing. Everybody has their own lives and things to worry on, and you might want to make a name for yourself. You might want to have your voice heard. And even before I knew what that was, I was in, like, doing the welcome address on Easter at church at 4 years old. Or I might be on the praise dance team, or I'm playing Jesus in the Christmas play, or something like that. I liked being on stage. And one thing that I noticed when there was an audience, I didn't really shy away. I knew how to hold court, or I knew how to be compelling, and I knew how to go off script. That's like kind of one of the best skills that I had. If I saw a script, I'd be like, oh, okay, that person wrote this line, but it needs to be delivered like this. Before I even knew what I was doing, I instinctually knew how to do that. And then all through, like, school, I didn't give a fuck about none of that because I was sports. Mm-hmm. So I played hoop. So I'm like, oh, shit, man, I'm fucking trying to go D1. Mm-hmm. The height I am now, this is where God fucked me up, okay? The height I am now, I'm 5'10", but I was this height in the 8th grade. So I thought I was going to be something. I thought I was, you know what I mean?
LeBron.
You know what I mean? I thought I was like, oh, shit. All the 8th grade and high school coaches, they was like, hey, this kid, he's got it. And then I didn't grow for the next 4 years. So it was just like, oh, damn. Funny trick, God. You know what I mean? But and where I found out, because I went to a high school. It was like a trade high school.
Okay.
So, and my trade was pre-engineering, but we also had trades that was like, they had a dance team, they had a theater club, and the theater teacher asked me to be in one of the plays. Now, mind you, I'm on the basketball team. I played in college. I was okay. I'm not good, but I was okay. Like, so I'm on the basketball team. We got the playoffs coming up, and my coach is like, hey, I seen you in there practicing with the theater club. You got talent, man. You should go with that, man. You should. And I was like, hold on, coach. We got the playoffs coming up. Like, why are you?
Nah, you go in there and do
that. He was like, no, that's your gift right there. I was like, nigga, what? Crush the kid's dreams. But he told me the real. And I appreciate him for saying that. I still hooped for three more years after that. I couldn't accept it. But I always been a person who was like, oh, okay. I know how to be an MC or a master of ceremony.
Right.
Definitely. So, that's my first memories hanging out with my mom. Watching like Showtime at the Apollo with, like, you know, on Saturdays with Steve Harvey.
Yeah.
Or just like whenever there was a comedian on the late night show or on Oprah, she'd be like, hey, Sean, I know you like this. Let's watch it together. And I'd be like, how do you know I like this, bitch? But it is what it is.
You do a lot of Living Color?
No, see, that's the thing. That's the thing. What years is
Living Color?
I know, man. But what years is Living Color? What years is Living Color? Because that's the thing. I might be.
Josh, you know about Living Color?
I know what Living Color is. I revoked.
You asked me, did I watch it while it was going on? And I think in Living Color was 94 to like 97, maybe.
I mean, they still had reruns. They still was running.
Watch the reruns.
I'm saying at that age, I was 3, 4, 5, 6 years old.
Okay.
So, like Tupac and Biggie, I was alive, but I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I'm watching cartoons and Power Rangers and shit like that. I'm Mighty Morphin.
Was it was out then.
Okay. All right.
I just remember watching it.
Because I know that they started the Super Bowl halftime show. But I remember that.
Fuck.
You old.
I just showed my age. God.
I was watching Mad TV.
Mad. I was watching a lot of Mad TV. Mad was a hit, too.
I tell you everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the white bread to the wheat.
Okay, yes.
Because the Living Color was shit.
You're definitely right.
Living Color was
Friends to Living Single. Exactly. You're right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mad TV was dope, though. I like Mad TV.
Yeah.
So, you pretty much got into comedy basically on, not accident, it was natural.
Okay.
Because he told your ass to stop playing basketball.
So, yeah. I got into it my first time doing comedy. I'm in some bar that I'm too young to be in. I'm 17. about to turn 18. And my childhood best friend, he, at the time, was trying to be a rapper. Now, I would say he's a successful...
Welcome to another episode of Open Bar Podcast, where the conversation is never on the rocks, but it's straight up no chaser. Today, we're excited to introduce you to a refreshing new sponsor that's sure to quench your thirst and elevate your palate, Stintino Sparkling Water. Imagine sipping on the vibrant flavors of Italy with every bubble. Stintino offers three unique and mouthwatering varieties that will transport you straight to the Mediterranean. First up, we have the Sicilian Blood Orange. This isn't just any orange flavor. It's infused with anise, fennel, and basil, and sweetened with the finest Italian grape sugar. It's a symphony of flavors that dances on your taste buds. Next, there's the Sicilian Cactus Pear, an exotic blend that combines the subtle sweetness of cactus pear with the bold notes of strawberry and black pepper. And yes, it's sweetened with Italian grape sugar, ensuring a naturally delightful taste. Finally, we have the Amalfi Lemon, a crisp and invigorating choice that pairs the zesty brightness of Amalfi lemons with fresh basil, all sweetened with Italian grape sugar. It's like a sunny Italian afternoon in a bottle. Don't just take our word for it. Experience the effervescent magic of Stintino Sparkling Water for yourself. Visit stintinosparkling.com to explore more and place your order today. And while you're at it, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow us on Instagram at openbarpodcast-was, and visit openbarpodcast.com for the latest updates and episodes. Stay tuned, stay refreshed, and keep the conversation flowing. Welcome to another episode of the Open Bar Podcast, where the conversation is never on the rocks, but it's straight up no chaser. Today, we're excited to introduce our sponsor, Tequila Gran Diamante. If you're looking for a tequila experience that epitomizes luxury and excellence, look no further. Let's start with their award-winning platter. Crafted from the finest estate-grown agave Tequilana Weber, this tequila has a captivating blend of wafting scents, including spices, slight vanilla, vegetal, and floral tones, all balanced perfectly with rich agave notes. Its medium weight body and silky, buttery, velvety texture make every sip a pure delight. The platter rests in stainless steel for 23 to 28 days, ensuring a flawless finish. Next, we have the Reposado. This remarkable tequila also uses the finest estate-grown agave Tequilana Weber and rests in French oak barrels for 8 months, enriching its character. The Reposado is bursting with flavors of spice, pepper, balanced agave, butterscotch, and caramel. It offers a medium weight body with a buttery, velvety texture, complemented by a slight wood and smoke essence that delivers a refined and unique taste. Finally, let's talk about the Añejo. Aged for 18 months in new French oak barrels, this full-bodied tequila features a luscious body and satiny texture. It offers smooth hints of muted spice, pepper, and oak undertones, which taper down to a thoroughly enjoyable finish. The Añejo has a refined bouquet of aromas, including butterscotch, cinnamon, nutmeg spices, and hints of chocolate and cigar. Its slight wood and smoke essence provide the character and nuance found in older Añejos. So why wait? Elevate your tequila experience today by shopping at tequilagrandiamante.com. Don't forget to follow the Open Bar Podcast on all social media platforms to stay updated and book your spot for our next episode. Visit us at openbarpodcast.com. Cheers to great conversations and even greater tequila.
Rapper, like, he's been nominated for a Grammy. He produced a song "Started from the Bottom" by Drake. He produced "They Don't Love You No More" by Jay-Z. His name is Mike Zombie, but he's a,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. So
they're famous friends.
At the time, we're 17, 18, and he's trying to become a rapper. So he's in bars. We're too young, but he's in bars getting his open mic off. Mm-hmm. And one day, the host, he's doing this thing, and I'm like, oh man, I got 5 minutes. I go up there.
It was an open mic, so anybody can come up there.
Yeah, it was pretty much open mic, guys. It was kind of like, hey, I'm hosting this night. I got some people that I think is dope. Y'all need to see them.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So my sister-in-law is in the audience. a couple of my friends, like older brothers, because they the ones who got us in.
Okay.
And I'm like, you know what? I got 5 minutes. I go up there and I tell a story about my first job. Wanye from Boys to Men, over there in Philly, he had a soulful spot called Eva's Kitchen. His grandmother's name is Eva. So I worked at this spot. And they're all, and no disrespect, I love the community, they're all Hebrew Israelites.
Okay.
So they are super militant. They only hire their own kind. And by the grace of God, I got this job. But maybe not by the grace of God, because if you work in this type of environment, you got to do everything.
Yeah.
You are the cook. Yeah. You are the clean. Yeah. You are the server. Uh-huh. You are the dishwasher. And now I'm like, this is my first job. And I'm like, oh, shit, I know how to be personable. I thought I was going to be a waiter. And now I'm cooking smoked turkey. I am not equipped. I don't have the knowledge to do this job.
Right.
But the reason I had to do this is because, I respect the community. The cook was gay. And the cook, you know, he's this, he just got out of jail. He may be, you know, he's not really presenting gay, he's a gangster gay. Oh. And when he got comfortable, he would let it out. And I'd be like, oh, cool. So one day he's like, yo, I can't make it to work on time. Sean, you got to make the turkey wings. And I'm like, nigga, what? So, and I got stories just about this job. They lost some of the money and they thought it was in the dumpster. I had to get in the dumpster to find it. Come to find out it was already in the register. I'm like, nigga, you should have just said you took that money, my nigga. Like, you fucking, he had catchphrases. But, like, I did a little set about this job. Okay. And they were like, I got laughs. And if any comedian will tell you, once you get bit by that bug, once you hear that that call and response, you're like, oh shit, that's like,
it's like a high.
You are chasing that. That's that dope, boy. You asked me, was I about to hit my blood? You said, like, go hit the dope. I already know what I need. I took that microphone cord, tied myself up.
Yo, that's dope. To get into it like that.
But the crazy thing is, so at this time, like I said, I still hoop. And I did this open mic, and after I did it, I'm still in high school. I graduate. I got a little partial scholarship to go play D2, and so I go play ball.
Mm-hmm.
And during the whole time I play ball, they're having school assemblies, or they're having like this talent night, and I just feel this, damn, I want to do that. Like, I'm still, I'm doing 5 a.m. practices. I'm fucking, I'm 2 a day. I'm in the weight room. I'm fucking, but I'm just like,
if you build it, it will come. If you build it.
Yes, yes.
He's like, really?
Yes. And this is the crazy thing, because, like, now I've been doing it for 10 years.
Okay.
So my mom's main thing was like, hey, you can do whatever you want after you graduate. And I'd be like, oh, my gosh, all right. And I did graduate, and, you know, I got a degree in engineering, and I use it. But she'd be like, yo, okay, as soon as I graduated, I started working for Lockheed Martin. I don't know if you know what that is. Mm-hmm. Lockheed Martin is the company I interned for them.
Okay.
It's the company that basically they have the contract for the military weapons for, like, all the military.
Okay.
It's like
they got
intel,
goddamn.
Basically. So being a pre-engineering in high school and going to school for that in college, and then, like, that I was able to get that job because they were stationed, like, kind of close to where I lived.
Okay.
And after, that shit was boring as fuck. Like, I wasn't on no weapons side. Okay. What I went to school for, I was allowed to do, like, expansion of metals, heat and air, HVAC stuff.
Okay.
So I could go to major companies like Target or just big corporate things and be like, hey, we should control your heat and air. And there's money in that.
Right.
But how do you control it? Like,
we make sure that your ducts and that everything is regulated for planes and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's a silent attack. Like, everybody doesn't think about that because you think that's just a regular thing because we live in this. But, like, heat and air wasn't a thing like 50 years ago. It was like, oh, no, you might have to light the candle or light the fire or something like that. Like, I'm maybe 100 years ago, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, it was boring as fuck. So then I was like, all right, I could make money doing this, but, like, okay. And I'm not to scoff at anybody, but 100K salary is a livable salary. But it's like, all right, if you're really good
at
sales.
Depends on what year that is, because now it's not.
If you're really good at sales, you might be able to make 150.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, do I do this job where my salary is this, or do I go to a sales job where I can make this? And I'm like, all right, then I did that. So then I sold cell phones, and I already knew the corporate game. So if you go to a corporate like job, you know, an office, mm-hmm. and be like, hey, do you guys have phones for your workers? I'd like to be the supplier for your phones.
Right, right, right.
So now you just sold 30, 50, 100 cell phones, and like your commissions is what it is.
So it's
like, okay, now you can make a little bit more doing this, but now I'm just fucking. So then I stopped doing that. I started working at GNC, and now I'm selling supplements to people, people who like, and this is the last time I had a job. I had my manager, I was like, yo, I got a show tonight, man. Can I get off early? He was like, no. And then he was like, no, you can't. But if I was you, I would just go to your show. And I was like, I'm never coming back here. And I went to that show, and it was a hard road. But 2 years later, this was the same year that I moved to LA. Mm-hmm. I saw that manager at one of my shows. He was like, look at you, man. I was like, you still there? He's like, nah, man, I've been left. And I was like, oh, shit, you didn't give a fuck either. Like, why was you trying to convince me that this was a way, something to believe in?
Right.
But then, and I told you this before, last time we hung out, our episode got deleted. Those are the hidden files. You don't even know. We had a fire episode before, but we got AD here now. So
yeah.
I don't want to. Am I rambling on? I'm cutting you.
Good, bro. Right, cool. We're having a conversation. Right. I'm trying to figure out what's in this drink because I tasted it. And it gave me like a...
Now, you made us something. I seen you sneaking over here.
Yeah.
I seen you shaking it up. Is this... Oh, damn.
No, this is just lime
juice. Is this the thing that like cures a cold? What is it?
Lemon
drop? You talking about ginger shots?
No. I know a ginger shot. I know that ginger and tuber. I'm talking about the old wives' tale one. The one where it's like the Mexican cocktail where they put it like, hey, you don't want to know what's in it, but it'll cure your cold. All right, never mind. Fuck it. I've been in LA. So it's a little too long, man.
Too many Diddy parties. This is going to cure a cold.
Okay, I got one question about the Diddy parties. Did y'all know that there was drugs in the baby oil?
They said that.
Did y'all know?
That's wild.
To be honest, I don't know nothing about that.
Y'all, you don't know nothing about that.
She said she don't watch TV, but she. Do you watch Instagram? Because that is TV.
I do, but.
You don't watch TV?
I'm a scroller. I'm just like, yeah.
I was going to say, what are you doing with your phone?
No, I'm like, cool, like, support. Like, I don't.
Really. Damn. So you don't have, like, yo, I got to watch this show with this person. Like you don't have a person that you watch a show with?
Damn. I really don't know these people's names.
Okay. No, not an actor. Like you and a person, like your significant other, like, yo, we watch this show together. Oh, okay.
No.
So what's in this? What's this? What's going on with this? I'm tasting something, but I'm trying to figure out what it is.
There's Grand Diamante, of course. Shout out to our sponsors. And then we have elderflower, a little, I don't know the correct pronunciation. Is it lychee?
No.
Lychee?
Lychee?
Uh-huh. Yeah, uh-huh. So, yeah.
Lychee Martini. Like okay.
We Puerto Rican.
Margarita.
Margarita.
Lychee Margarita. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I'm tasting, I'm like, damn, this shit tastes like it low-key tastes like Ivy 20, low-key.
Oh,
it's
really? Giving me. Yeah, because
it's giving
like,
me.
Kind of like that floral.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's so funny.
It's giving me the
yeah, it's so funny because yeah, it is elderflower, so it goes very well with that. Yeah,
that's good though.
Mm-hmm. Also, I want to say shout out to y'all for the million downloads y'all just had the party. Woo-woo. Shout out to Open Bar Podcast. Hell yeah, hell yeah. Hell yeah. All right, okay.
So
okay.
We at 1.8.
I know. Yeah. I'm not trying to take over the show. Oh, 1.8. Damn, creeping up to 2. You see that? You see that? Subtly. He tried to whisper it, but he got a microphone, crazy. So there's going to be subtitles,
we just
okay?
We got like 200 check more lower subscribers third. On YouTube. We going crazy right now.
Let's
we
go.
We going crazy, man. Keeping it consistent.
No, okay. So now I want to ask you, if you can give me 3 noticeable differences, it could be a lesson, it could be something you're mad at, it could be something that like, oh, I didn't expect this. Mm. But 3 noticeable difference from like, episode 1 to where you guys are now to getting a million downloads.
As far as what exactly? Because
it's
always been a growth process. Like,
okay.
It's always growing. We still growing.